Prince Harry spent his life living in the shadow of his mother's tragic death. But when he falls in love, he realizes it's up to him to stop history from repeating itself. In our new series, Prince Harry, Windsor of Change, we'll tell you how a prince without direction became a duke who found a family.
Listen to Even the Rich on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. We are here picking up where we left off on Salt Lake City. It's a two-parter. If you missed part one, go check out our feed. Be sure to subscribe on whatever platform you use so you don't miss any episodes. And without further ado, let's get into part two of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City recap.
But guess what? You can't redo a childhood, okay? So let's rethink that, fathers. Okay, let's get more involved. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
So speaking of raising our children, we now go to Monica's house where her kids are all bouncing around and they're blowing up balloons. They're doing something. And then the black Range Rover of death shows up. It's basically, I mean, it's funny because like the Range Rover does kind of look like Darth Vader's helmet in a certain sort of way. So for it to like arrive, it's like Linda being like, Luke,
I'm your mother and you will respect me, goddammit. Like, why is Darth Vader fighting with that plant? Mom.
Darth Vader comes in, Luke, the other day, I watched a movie about a woman in Croatia whose mother had died and she never got to resolve her issues. Dark Volvo. I can't wait to eat this dessert guacamole. When are you gonna get over it? I said, motherfucker. Verizon. Always there for you.
Was it Verizon that
this
he did?
This is CNN. Linda doing... No, we're actually just doing James Earl Jones.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, Vovo shows up, not in a Volvo. I feel like she should have a Volvo if she's going to be named Vovo.
Vovo and the Volvo.
Yeah, Vovo and the Volvo. I mean, her name is, you know, Volvo. You can't have a Volvo without the L for Linda. And then it becomes, no, I mean, Volvo is, okay, you know what? No, I'm shutting up. The Range Rover shows up and the kids are like panicked. I actually am like concerned about this. I'm concerned about how much the kids are involved in this mess. And they're like, should we lock the doors? Lock the doors! Because Monica's like, okay, Brie, I don't want her to come in here, okay? Okay, I don't want her here with the kids for real. So, like, just, like, lock the door behind me when I go outside. I was like, geez, there's so much dysfunction happening in this family.
Is the mom, like, coming with a baseball bat? Like, what happens over there?
I know.
It's like a horror movie. They're like, lock the doors, mom. Oh my God, they must name the Dark Volvo will not get you, children.
She's coming in with like 10 octopus. Watch out.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure what's going on. I am sure Volvo is a crazy person and is showing up to be on Real Housewives in her Burberry pattern, pants and scarf. You know, she's like, it's me, Volvo in Burberry, and don't you forget it, you little bitch. So she drives the Range Rover up, and Monica's like, okay, I'm sorry, let me fast forward to this. So Monica's like, yeah, I don't want her in here. Lock the door behind me. So she goes outside, and she tells us, and there has been zero communication with me and my mom. Like, none since dinner. None. And Monica's like, yeah, when you take our vehicle, mother. And mom's like, oh, so it's my fault, is it? It's my fault.
Yeah, so Linda's like, hi, I come bearing gifts. She's,
this is not a gift, mother.
She's, well, it's a peace offering, okay?
No, mom, girl, I can't do this anymore, okay? I can't live with, like, when you get upset and you're just gonna, like, take my car from me, girl.
And the mom's like, well, I'm just trying to get your attention. God, this is so crazy. The mom is showing up here, by the way, also in pigtails, yes, which is just so like, I'm just a little girl. I'm so innocent. Look at me. I'm in my pajamas and my pigtails. You can't be mad at me. I was just trying to get your attention.
She's, I'll stop. I won't do it anymore. I just wanted your attention because you ignore me, your poor mother. So Monica's like,
this is our pattern, okay? Like, our relationship has, like, always been, like, very volatile and, like, very up and down and, like, high highs and low lows and, like, big Range Rovers.
Linda's like, I clearly have some skills to learn. You know, when we had dinner with that beautiful plant, what a wonderful plant. I invited them out to dinner tonight. Are you okay to have dinner with me and the plant tonight?
Mother!
Okay, I'm sorry. I will get back on track. I was
serious. Honestly, it's a cheap date. Really doesn't eat much.
Only drinks water.
Good listener.
I was serious about therapy, and I think it would be good for us, and I think we need to get back on track. Are you down for having therapy with me? And just remember, there's only one right answer, and the wrong answer means you don't get the Range Rover.
And Monica's like, well, I don't know. I mean, I would like to think about it, but to be honest, Mom, we've gone to therapy for so many years, you know? And she's like, yeah, but that was so long ago. And the cycle of dysfunction in our family, it just goes back generations, you know? You and I can be the ones to break it. Now, let's just remember the good times we had together as a kid. Okay, you get in the trunk, and I'm going to find out someone to make out with, okay?
You know, I want to break the cycle of going round and round and round, much like the wheels of this Range Rover will do if you say no to this offer. So she's like,
Mom, you just kidding on my car for me? Like, you want to talk about dysfunction, Mom?
I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I took the car. I'm so sorry. And she's like, we've been to therapy several times. And when we go, she's not herself. And unless you go to therapy and be really honest and show us your messed up self, it doesn't fix anything. And the mom's like, we can break the cycle. I'm serious. Now, part of me is like, okay, well, this is more than I think we hear from problems like this on Bravo, yeah, or on reality TV, where people are like, we need to work it out. Let's go work it out.
It's usually the kid begging the parents.
Right. And part of me, you know, obviously doesn't trust this because the mom has proven herself to be a nutcase and just said, but I was just doing it to get your attention, which also means the other stuff she's been saying online doesn't ring as true because the mom, who's like LD Millionaire, I think is her name, has been tweeting like, she doesn't make her car payments. That's why I took her car, you know. And Monica's obviously got a lot of issues too, which if anybody wants to hear about some of those that came out this week in the goss, you can go listen to Crappy Hour Live. That was our Instagram live. That's where we talk about Bravo gossip and stuff. And there were a lot of Monica stories this week. So we were talking about that. And Monica does seem like a little brat in a lot of ways. But I have to say, you got to be Team Monica in this. Her mom just comes across as fucking crazy. I mean, showing up in pigtails and Burberry and being like, I just take your car because I need your attention. Like, I can't believe anything else you say. Yeah. So
Linda's very
until further notice, Team Monica on this, you know? And I do like that she says, we've gone to therapy for years and this lady just fakes it. You know, I've gone to therapy with someone in my family who's been a lot and they literally went one time and then said, guess what? The therapist told me nothing's my fault. And I don't need therapy. And I was like, the therapists don't tell people that.
Right.
So that's, I know that that's not true, but there are some people who are just, that's how they are. You cannot get through to the person.
That being said, okay? I really want to see these two in therapy. I will love to watch that episode. I mean, I feel like they're gearing up for it. So, I mean, they need it. The truth is this though, like Linda, they do need it. And I do also think though that if Linda is being fake and presenting in therapy, that's not helpful. But I also, like, part of me feels like maybe this is me being naive, that if you still just do it long enough, you have the breakthroughs. But maybe I've just seen too much therapy in the movies. Maybe I've seen too much like Good Will Hunting, where it's like, it's not your fault. But either way, I feel like they should do the therapy because I don't think there could be any downside from it. But Linda's manipulative.
You know, when you talk to people, when you talk to people with certain personality disorders and stuff, and I've said this a million times on the show, it can make things a lot worse because it really just gives people the language they need to manipulate better.
Oh, wow.
I think that if people really want to go into therapy and change for themselves and they're like, oh my God, I really need help. Like, I've gone to therapy many times throughout my life where I really need something. And it's helped me. But I think that people who are like, I'm going to break up with you if you don't go to therapy. And then that person goes to therapy to be like, well, she's mad or he's mad because of X, Y, Z. The therapist's like, well, this is how you need to present the situation so that they don't get mad. And it kind of gives people a language of manipulation on in relationships. There's certain kind of disorders where it actually hurts other people because it's giving these people tools to manipulate better. I mean, I've seen it, and we've seen it a zillion times on these shows.
Well, I know one person that it didn't help. Mac Tonight. I mean, that guy, he's got problems.
Mac Tonight has gone to therapy for years and has remained one of the most obnoxious McDonald's side characters of all time. He's like, so, you know what?
He's like, I just don't understand. I can't. It's like, I just keep sabotaging these relationships. And like, I want to settle down, but I just feel like I can't settle down. And quite literally, I don't know what to do. I keep pushing people away. I'm starting to realize the common thread might be me. Just turning him into Austin.
So Dark Vovo is like, you and I can break the cycle, Luke.
Monoluke.
And Monica's like, well, I'll think about it. But in the meantime, you better get to walking because it's going to be a cold walk home.
She's like, you can't be serious.
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful out. Enjoy your walk to the Death Star.
She's like, can you drive me in your Millennium Falcon, please?
No, bitch. Get out of here.
Monica goes back inside and Linda is like, what? And she's like, you gotta be kidding me. She takes her scarf, which, you know, that's one of the reasons why you have a scarf is that way you can fling it around your neck when you're pissed, you know? So good for her for being
but
prepared.
It's also such a sight, like passing someone just walking and muttering to themselves in Burberry pajamas. You know,
now the question is, how far away does she live? She must be, well, obviously she's like walking distance. She's probably like walking distance, but like an annoying walking distance, like 25 minutes, you know, like she doesn't want to walk 25 minutes. She wants to walk like 5 minutes, you know?
Yeah. Now look, I get why Monica did this, and I would be, you know, I was kind of cheering when she did it, but I would have also taken the car back. So there is something about being a certain age where I'm like, well, fuck you then. This car is in my name. Bye. Where I'm like, you can't just take someone's car. And then I'm like, take the car, take it. I mean, asking me to walk somewhere is like the greatest offense to me. Like, if you ever want me to not speak to you again, it's very hard. I'll forgive almost everything. But being like, you know what, Ronnie, you should take the stairs today. You're dead to me. You know what, Ronnie, maybe you should walk there. Fucking die. Okay.
I also literally cannot even imagine slamming the door on my mother and telling her she had to walk home. I cannot imagine. And this has nothing to do with their relationship, but I'm just like, actually, it's a commentary on how fucked up their situation has become, because like literally that horrifies me. But I'm also a good little Jewish boy. So, you know, I'm like, oh my God, I would never, never to my mother, never in the world.
Okay, so let's go over to Heather. She's arriving. She's got a black podium. Ember. She's coming to Ember.
So isn't it weird to like have a book reading at a place that has to do with like that alludes to fire? Like,
yes.
Like,
she's like, can we have my book club meeting at Brimstone?
Can we?
That'd be great.
You know what? And then afterwards, we can just make a nice big pile. Someone can bring some gasoline. They're gonna do
Is
it to
there
me
a bar
anyway.
Called Satan. Yeah, is there a bar called, yeah, Satan?
So anyway, ooh. I'm going to have my book signing at the book burning place. So so Heather, she gets there, and she's excited because it's the first small event she's had. It's a little humble brag there. And she's...
Oh, that's funny. You were saying book burning, and I was saying burning in hell.
But I understood, well, I think but they it works both work. They both work, so that's why. They both work. No, the point is that, like... Fire.
Sorry, it took me 5 minutes to understand. My listening is slow, as people know already.
The point is, fire and books, they don't have a great history together, okay? So, and fire and heathens, also bad history. So
bad history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, Heather's there with her gay, and they've oversold the event. And Lisa shows up. Hi, how are you guys? I'm excited. I'm here. It is. Oh, I love the living room setup. You know, like, Heather, I have like 100 couches. So, like, next time you need a couch, just like ask me because I got couches for days and days.
Hi, Tony. Hi, couches. Hi, microphone. Hi, chairs. Hi, lighting. Hi, bar. Hi, Amber. Oh, my God. Testing, testing. Let me practice on the microphone. Bah. Bah. My voice is so beautiful. It's making me cry a little bit. Hold on. Could somebody open a window over there? Okay, I got it out.
Isn't this like a nice turn of events? Like, this week has like not been my favorite. And like, I feel like I'm in this like weird space with Whitney. I'm like, she just told you to stop cursing. You're not in a weird space with Whitney. And I like don't feel like talking to Ange about anything that happened this week. And then like, I'm just like really like wanting to like have a good time with Heather. And I just want to have a good time with like the good time girl. Hi, good time girl. Hi. Mm.
And Heather's like, I just want Lisa, the cool kid, to love me, singing on a mic. And Heather's like, wow, be like Lisa. You know, anybody want to be like Lisa? You can be a great Mormon without even trying or following any rules. She's like, you know what? It doesn't have to be one or the other. Heather, okay, I'm not going to get triggered by Heather. I'm too mad at other people right now.
Yeah.
Okay?
Exactly. So then Angie K shows up, and Angie K is like, I haven't gotten one text or phone call from Lisa since the Prism event. And normally Lisa and I talk about 80 to 100 times a day on my phone because I've got such good service from Opa Wireless. But now she's ignoring me. So now I know Lisa's annoyed and something is up. I'm Greek. I'm Greek.
I'm great. So there are people arriving and going to the bar. And Monica goes to the bar and she goes, do you have anything without Vita?
It's like a very
sponsored bar.
It's like a very teenage rebellion that she's doing, but also funny.
Yeah. So she's like, I haven't seen Lisa since our spiritual encounter at the Sound Bath. And I feel like every time I turn around, there's like a jump scare. Because there she is. Well, jump scare.
So Lisa's like, I'm nervous now. Like, I'm like so nervous now. I'm like really, really nervous about now. Like, do you get nervous? Like, cause you don't seem nervous. You want to drink some of my Diet Coke? Cause like, I'm like really nervous. Like, Diet Coke really helps me get nervous. Oh my God, it's like not Diet Coke. It's like Vita Tequila. Oh my God, no, it's a Diet Coke. Oh my God, I'm like so nervous. I don't even know what's in my head right now. I'm like so nervous. Are you nervous? Are you nervous? I'm like really nervous right now, Heather.
So then Monica is talking to Meredith, and Monica's like, I want to tell you what happened at the Prism event. So me and Lisa were arguing back and forth, and it got really nasty. And she was like, whatever, Monica, your own mother doesn't even want you. And it's like, oh, mother doesn't want you. And Meredith just gives an eye flare where she's like,
She said that about you, and that sounds like a lot of rumors and nastiness. I'm not gonna listen. And Monica's like, yeah, I'm not gonna like let her like bully me around and like say things and like not bite back.
So Meredith is like, well, you just nailed the problem right on the head. Your exact words were, and let the record show to the jury, I react rather than I respond. And if you can try to have a response rather than a reaction, I think you'll have more success. We don't want reactions. You can leave.
I know. I can't believe they didn't put that clip in there. I was like, really, Meredith? That's great advice for somebody else.
Were we recording?
So
Were we recording that? Oh, we were not recording once
again. Oh, shit. Did we not get that? Oh, for crap. Come on. This is gold.
I just gave some great therapy advice and didn't even record it for the pad.
Well, that actually sounds really helpful and really healthy, Meredith. So I'm not going to do it.
Meredith's like.
So they all sit down for the event and Lisa comes out on the mic and she's like, surprise.
Jump scare. Oh my God. Dad didn't see that coming.
I'm so nervous. Like, thank you everyone for coming. Like, Heather told me about this special day, and I'm like, I'm here to give you a little rendition of my hit single, Away in a Manger. Excuse me. away in a manger, in a manger I went away. My son's going to Columbia, but not the university.
I still don't understand what song she's singing. I recognize the tune, but it's not Away in a Manger, I don't think, unless Mormonism has a different one. But that song is something else to the rest of the world. Away in a Manger goes, away in a manger, no crib for his bed. The little Lord Jesus lays down his sweet head, and stars in the sky look down where they lay. And little Lord Jesus just feed us tequila. And Lisa's goes, away in a manger, no crib for his bed. The little Lord there's something. Jesus. What is that song? Na 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 na. It's not Away in a Manger, and it's making me crazy. What is it? Can someone please guess it and tell me? Because every time she sings it, I'm like, listen, I'm no pro, but that is not Away in the Manger. So,
well, you know what? In Judaism, it's not uncommon to go in one synagogue, have a prayer or a song be sung one way, and you go to another synagogue and they have a different melody. And it's really annoying when that happens because you're like, this is not the melody. Like, why are you messing up the melody? This is not it. But the truth is that maybe there are different versions of Away in a Manger, like just like in Judaism, you know?
I guess so.
We're all the
I guess
same, guys. What I'm trying to say is it's a big tent and we all...
Oh, really? You are not LGBT. You are not allowed to say that, Ben.
Little blow dick.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
It's almost that magical time of year.
Speaking of, what's your favorite Christmas story, Ben?
Hands down, The Grinch.
Same.
It cracks me up that he hates all the merriment.
Right, and he steals everyone's presents.
But then it's like so heartwarming at the end when like the whole town is still singing and he realizes that there's more to Christmas than just gifts.
Oh, I know. It hits me right in the feels.
Best part is, Wondery has a new podcast starring The Grinch. And I think there's someone who wants to tell you more about it, Ronnie.
Hi, it's me, the Grand Poobah of Bah Humbug, the OG Green Grump, The Grinch. From Wondery, 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show is a pathetic attempt by the people of Whoville to use my situation as a teachable moment. So join me, the Grinch. Listen as I launch a campaign against Christmas cheer, grilling celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. Your family will love the show. As you know, I'm famously great with kids. Follow 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Monica, the answer is I have no answer for you, but maybe
it's okay. You know what? It's a religious thing. I don't think it's like a real question. I think with religion, it's just like, will I ever get the answer? It's one of those things. If there is a heaven and I do go, which LOL, but if I do, I'm not going to have a good question. Like, what's the meaning of life? I'm going to be like, what's the real fucking tune for Away in a Manger? Settle this now, bitch. Settle this now.
So either way, Monica is sitting there scoffing. She is basically projecting all her mommy issues onto Lisa right now because she is acting like the kid who's been forced to sit at the table and finish their peas instead of going off and playing video games. So she's sitting there like,
this is like so stupid. Is she like serious right now? Like, is this happening? This is like for real? Oh my God. Like, what? Do I have to finish my potatoes? Gross.
Yeah, Monica lays it on really thick.
Yeah.
You know, it's her first season. This is Monica just slathering it on every time she comes somewhere. It's like, ew, wow. Like, she's a fucking brat. Like, I want to take her car away right now. I want to drive her car away.
I do too. I'm like, this is Lisa's iconic strange song, okay? The melody is not quite right. You listen.
Yeah. So, Lisa sees them because she's all nervous and it's bright lights. I mean, it's not like... You can't see the audience, right? And so Monica's being loud, like, growls. And Angie's laughing with her. And so Lisa sees it, and she's like, oh, my God, who set you on, Angie? Like, you're sitting there snickering with Monica, baby. This is why I'm over her. And she's like, you know, but I'm kind of sick of this song. Heather, could you come out? And Heather comes out in her choir robe, and she's like, you need a little energy? Let's give some white people beatboxing, everybody.
Salt Lake City local vocals coming on in. Yeah, because they come on and going like, amen, amen. And then she's like, then they start beatboxing. And then Lisa's like, away in SLC, in her crib, in her bed, the best-selling author laid down her sweet head. The stars in the heaven looked down where there she lay, singing sweet dreams of the book sales of this bad girl and a gay. And parents just don't understand.
Away in the manger, no crib for his bed. Little baby Jesus, away he was led. And she pretended to be his friend, but then was tied with Monica, and that's the end. Fuck Angie.
Fuck Angie.
With the manger.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look around and say, where's the Diet Coke?
Real pissy Elliot up there, Lisa. Wow.
Work it. Really, do you want to work it? I got 100 couches in the warehouse. It's your couch for your event.
It's your major hammerlet.
It's your major hammerlet. Got a big... Let me work it. Got to drink some Vita and we'll twerk it. Got a major hammerlet. Got a manger, hammer, hi, Missy.
Hi, Missy Elliot.
Hi, Jesus. Hi, manger. Pass that, Jesus. Pass that, Jesus. Pass that, Jesus.
Ooh, Snoop.
So Monica's like, that was terrible. And that's the point, Monica. Okay, just shut up. Monica, just shut up. Like, you're winning. Monica does this thing where I feel like she wins at kind of every fight anyway, but then she loses with stupid baby things, you know, like this. Like, what are you heckling? It's a book event. Shut up. You can't heckle Away in a Manger and someone like Lisa Barlow Rat. You've got to applaud the effort. And when you get in fights with people, you can't just be like, well, you're old.
Yeah. You know? And she also does this a little bit too much around kids, you know? Because, like, Heather's kids are right there, and she's just being
not
like,
around my children.
Don't curse around the kids.
So Meredith is like, well, I give Lisa a lot of credit for getting up there and doing whatever that was. I think it was some sort of form of hip-hop arts. I am not sure, but unfortunately, I don't know if she has a future in rapping. Maybe her future in rapping is as promising as Antonio's future in pressing record on podcasts.
Monica's like, what the fuck? Truly? Wow. What the fuck? I want my money back.
You have to pay for something first, okay?
Yeah. Also, so, Monica, like, let's not act like next season your arc is going to be that you're a singer, because we all know that this is your path. You're going to be like,
I'm actually, like, love singing, and, like, before my mom ruined my life, I actually was, like, going to be a singer, so I have a new song. It's called, like... Live with me and my kids.
Like, she's gonna do the whole thing. We know it's a Melissa Gorga path.
Dude, the swaddle waddle. So Heather's like, guys, thanks so much for being here. This is a big culmination of my book tour. I just never imagined I would write a book, and I never imagined that it would be so well received. Except for Mary Cosby and all of you who probably still haven't read it. So we're not received at all, which is what everyone in my family said when I said that I had sent it to them. So, well, anyway, I never wanted to be a bad Mormon. I wanted to be a good Mormon. So now I'm going to read you a book about the time I discovered panties. Everybody, hold on to your horses. Here we go.
I was in Amsterdam, and I saw a very fragile-looking white man, and he put on a name tag, and I said, you're a missionary, aren't you? He said, please don't hurt me. And I said, don't worry. Tell me where your chips are. He said, no, we're not related to the nacho chips. I said, I'm just kidding. I used to be one of you, too. And he said, please don't narc on me. And I said, I would never narc on you. But just know, I can see you're trembling. And if you ever want to leave the church, I'm here for you. And I said, there's no one here I would rather spend my day with. Which was a lie, of course. Why would I ever want to spend a day with a 21-year-old boy? Anyway, hope you enjoyed that passage.
So Monica listens, and she's like, growing up with my mother, we always had missionaries in our home, and we always signed up to feed them meals. Those are great memories. They felt like older brothers. I'm just so grateful to missionaries. I totally relate to Heather.
The show comes out of left field so many times. I'm like, what do you...
Where is this? It's just such an odd show. I really like it. I mean, where else are you going
to
hear that?
Well, I just love all of Monica's memories, too. Like, I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. She's like,
and then my mother brought one of them into the car and put me in the trunk. And the next thing I know, my mother's making out with my brother. Well, my fake brother was a missionary. And I was like, mother.
I was like waiting for that to happen.
I know.
And then my mom fucked all the missionaries and they never found God again. Sorry, missionaries.
So then everyone's clapping. Heather's taking selfie like with her and the group and everything. And then like Heather and Lisa have like a moment. And Heather's like, well, first Heather's like saying how like this is the best year of her life, and you know she can't believe that people read this book, etc. And then like this guy comes, like people are like really into Heather. Like one lady is like, I'm not gonna cry. And another guy comes up to her and says, just so you know, I want to leave the church, but I stay for my parents. And I know I can say that here because there's no way my parents would ever watch this godless network.
Surely no one is going to find out on this national television show. So Lisa's like, oh my God, you know what? I totally get it now, Heather. I totally get it. Like those things you said, like when you were crying with missionaries. And I'm like, my son's going to be a part of that. You know what? Jock just wants to help people make tortillas. And that's why he's going to be a part of the factory for the next 2 years in Colombia.
You know what? And that's the thing. It's like, I just want to be part of Jack's journey. Because, like, you know, I understand what it is, but I also feel like left out because of the book, and I just want some tortillas.
Yeah, I'm really glad I get it now, you know, because Jack just wanted, he doesn't want to make weapons, but he does want to concentrate on nuclear energy, and that's why you need fission. You know, that's why he's going on his fission.
Listen, I am just so excited he'll be working with Tom Cruise, because guess what? Nothing really is impossible, despite what they say, okay? So Lisa goes, so is that what you're looking? Because Heather Bates is like, I just want validation that like some people get to live by different rules. And Lisa goes, is that what you're looking for? It took all that time to get that? Heather, you're validated. Okay. Speaking of which, can you validate my parking? Thank you so much. If you go like, if like you grew up culturally here, I think there's like a different set of rules. But like we didn't raise our kids with them. So it's like different rules for us, Heather.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting thing about religion, because that is the argument. I'm like, well, I don't agree with this, this, and this. And they're like, it's okay. You don't have to. Christianity is whatever you want it to be. I'm like, no, it's not. But it's not, though. I mean, I understand that conflict because I've always had that conflict where I'm like, but it's not. Like, I've been forced to read this Bible many times. Like, I've had to study this fucking thing, okay? And you can't just tell me that this is suddenly okay. They're like, but it is okay. But it's not. Like, I understand how it's so frustrating. And then someone's like, but I'm the best Christian. You're like, you just got divorced after cheating on your wife, like, for many years. And I'm like, but I'm a very good Christian. I'm like, you're saying this at the craps table. What the hell's going on here? It's always been a conflict. So I don't know that I'm triggered by it, no. But I'm definitely like, whose side am I on?
You're like, I don't know if I'm triggered by
it. I'm turning red and freaking out.
You're like
spitting all over the place.
Made me go to church.
I don't know if I'm triggered, honestly. I think that like it just makes me think about things.
Yeah. It's true, though. This show just gets me. Like, I totally see where Heather's coming on this. Like, I just did this whole thing where I said, fuck you to the church, and now I'm not allowed anywhere, but you don't even follow anything, and you're still, like, held up by the church. You had a whole party of white children who looked like thumbs with terrible pushed-forward hair. Like, no one's saying anything bad about you. You know, how is that allowed? And I think it's allowed because Lisa's like, but I just still call myself Mormon. You don't. I just still say, I'm Mormon, and I have a tequila company. It's really fun. Listen, Mormonism is like the best social club ever. And you know, like, maybe I should have figured that out because the cookies were really good at church. I don't think that I've ever gone anywhere else where you can just get little coffees and put 97 of those tiny creamers in them and put sugars in your pockets and hide under tables with your friends while you, like, get high on sugar and coffee. Yeah. I don't think I've ever found somewhere like that but church. But I haven't been able to go back there because I won't follow their fucking rules. And I never even had to follow their fucking rules this whole time.
Well, when I went to synagogue, like I'd go Saturday mornings and afterwards, oh God, that bagel spread. Those bagels, I tell you, I was like, there's always a bowl of M&M's. There was a bowl of M&M's. Oh my God. And there were just so many. I would have like two bagels, sometimes three bagels. I was just like this bagel monster. I am to this day. But like then I didn't have any shame about having three bagels in one sitting. Now I do. Although, God, I want three bagels in one sitting all the time.
God, I love bagels.
I love a fresh bagel. So at least
my best friend growing up was Jewish. I went to Temple all the time, and he did not get bagels there. So, I mean, I would have converted in 2 seconds. I would have Leah McSweeney'd that shit up if I had known there was going to be bagels.
Yeah.
There.
Oh God, bagels. And what makes me sad is that was before I really liked smoked salmon. Like, I didn't know about lox then, but if I had known, there was lox for days. And I'm just sitting
this cream
here.
Cheese.
I
just need the cream.
Honestly,
cheese.
At the end of the day,
listen, I don't know how much I would do for Christ, honestly, but for a bagel, I would literally do. I would walk out.
I would worship at the Church of the Bagel. I mean, there was a whole movie about it that won an Oscar. Let's be honest. But anyway, Lisa is like, Heather and I have like a lot of issues, and like one thing that like really bothers me the most is the way she like talks about Jack's mission. But like, what this mission means to Jack is that he wants to serve others the way I like to provide couches for people, and he gets to like promote kindness and love, and it's like totally different from Heather's experience, but I definitely have a different understanding of Heather now, and like I feel like for the first time she's realizing that there's like not just like one way to live a religion, and specifically ours, and like I just feel like I'm seeing Heather for the first time, like I'm seeing more of Heather, and it's like I suddenly see more. I'm sorry, I just did that all just to get that in there. I was like, we're talking musicals today.
Doctor. I'm sorry, Doctor.
The original Audrey 3, played by Whitney.
Feed me. I have some prison leftovers. I would eat Seymour right now, but I've got some prison leftovers.
I want to live somewhere that's green.
She does have the picket fence.
She literally
Whitney.
Lives in Audrey's dream house.
And she is a ding dong. She could totally get away with that. The modern Whitney. The modern Audrey Whitney. So, let's see here. So, yeah, they've come to this kind of agreement where Lisa's like, oh, my God, I just told you could totally be a hypocrite and be a part of something that you don't follow the rules of. Now we can be friends. And Heather's like, well, you know, I just need to be open more to your experience and just not get so mad that it's unfair that you get to drink tequila.
Yeah, pretty much. So
do you think that this is all going to end with Heather going back to Mormonism?
No, I think this is...
Or do you think she's going to find, like, a liberal version of Mormonism? Like, you know how in L.A. there's those, like, Christian churches now that celebrities go to where it's, like, fun church?
Yeah, like,
you know,
Mosaic.
It's, like, what cool church?
Mosaic, yeah. Or the Justin Bieber church, yeah.
Or, like, my parents, like, they go to cool church now where they're like, we have a band at church. You'll love it now. I'm like... The songs, you still have to rhyme everything with Jesus. And why is every song about wanting to bang Jesus? I'm officially uncomfortable. I'm more uncomfortable in cool church than I was at the other church.
I am uncomfortable in any any like religious space that has guitars. Any religion. I think that it's strange to have guitars in a house of worship. I don't know why. I will accept an organ in church. Obviously, that's been like well established. Like growing up, this is like talk of our religious past. Growing up in my synagogue, we had no instruments. It was all just like, it was just singing. No, nothing. So the first time I went to a synagogue where there was like a guitar or a banjo or like a piano or anything, I was like, whoa, it's crazy to me. Like,
your God would not like this. God does not approve of this.
We had a very Spartan musical existence, but we had bagels. We had great bagels.
Well, the first time I saw the church band, they were singing something like, I want you inside me. And I was like, what the fuck are you? We have kids here. You cannot sing like that. You cannot sing songs like this at church. And it was, of course, the spirit they were talking about. And I was like, no, I need
Spirit
out of here.
Airlines.
I need to get the house.
They were like, I need that cheap seat.
When you have a seat that like reclines and is leather and rocks back and forth and has a like big gulp soda holder in it, I'm like, I don't think this is, I feel wrong. I need to go somewhere that makes me feel worse about myself or I'm not doing it.
Alexis Bellino, didn't she, was she the one who went to like a, or was it like Gretchen? There was one episode of Orange County where they went to one of those Orange County churches where it was like a full band and it was like going to a strange rock show, but it was like church. And
yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
That's such a strange
experience. But I'm triggered now by this whole episode. So sorry for everybody being dragged into our childhood religion.
I'm not triggered. I'm just amused by. I'm like. Today's the day. I'm going to share all the stories of going to synagogue as a child.
Yeah, let's just trade religious stories. It's fun talking. Really, like, when do you ever talk about? I don't talk about.
Well,
I mean,
to
you, I probably have a million
interesting
times,
stories on my end. I feel like your stories are interesting because yours like come with like a really. Dose of trauma, and they're like, and then they made me do this, and I'm like, I had a bagel. I'm like, I had a bagel. One time, I went to a bar mitzvah, and there was a guitar, and I hated it.
I've hated guitars ever since.
I just have Yelp reviews. Didn't like that synagogue.
Okay.
I went to Tether DeBro's synagogue once for a bar mitzvah. How about that?
Okay. The church segment's wrapped up. Okay. So let's move on.
You're like, you're re-traumatizing me with your religious background now.
We are officially moving past God. No offense, God. You'll always be here in your way, but bye. So Meredith, okay. So now we go back to Monica, Meredith, and Angie. So they're all talking in a corner. And Monica's like, oh my God, Angie and Meredith, have you guys like talked at all? I'm sorry. And they're like, no. And Meredith is doing that like mm-mm. twice tomorrow. Yeah. She's like, no. And I don't need to talk about it. I'm just going to smile like this with my head tilted and slightly shaking.
Well, I'm not going to make a big deal about this, but I know that you were making threats, and I don't want you to run away like you do like on me today, Mirror. And I'm just going to tell you that I am hurt as a mother, as a wife, and as the owner of a ridiculous poodle. And that you were saying that you were threatening my family, unacceptable.
Who's Greek? And Meredith is like, I was not threatening your family. She goes, you said it. You said I could ruin your family. She's like, but I'm not going to ruin your family. And that is the difference. So, and she's like stringing her hair out. She just wants to kill this lady. And Angie's like, but you don't have the power to ruin my Greek family, even with Greek words. You cannot come up with enough Greek words to ruin my Greek family. Greek. I am Greek.
Okay.
And she's like, okay.
Great. Thanks. Thanks for the update, Angie, on what I can and cannot break with Greek words. Thank you.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Why are we going to be passive aggressive? I'm just telling you how you made me feel about it, Greek. And Meredith's like, well, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings and made you feel so badly. Am I upset you? What else would you like from me, Angie?
What else would you like from me at this juncture?
So Monica's like,
that's more than I'm getting from Lisa Barlow. Let's turn it into me, guys.
So Meredith was like, okay, so let's move on. Angie's like, I've moved on, Meredith. And Meredith goes, well, thank you. And now I will move on to quite physically with my feet as I walk away from you. Slot.
And by the way, Meredith's outfit is a black leather jacket with like white doily sleeves over. I don't know what the fuck. The fashion on this show kills me. And Angie's in a gold bodysuit.
Yes. What is this? Angie is like, I mean, she always...
We're not fashion gays, but we have to give some credit where credit is due. These ladies dressed insanely in every episode.
Angie is always going for some look that's for at some event in some other part of the world. You know, like, I feel like she is trying to be at some club at a fashion show, a fashion week that's happening. But she's just at, like, Ember to celebrate Heather's book about Mormonism.
Well, she's dressed like a cat burglar, but she's gold. Like, what are you trying to rob? A tanning salon? Like, where you just fit in with all of the orange? Like, what are you doing?
She's auditioning for Cirque du Soleil Greek.
Greek du Soleil, opa! So, Meredith's like, I'm moving on. So, bye, Monica. Good to see you, Monica. You know, I loved how you cursed through Lisa's song. Wait a minute, Lisa's backing out with my Range Rover.
You shouldn't have made fun of my song, Patch.
And she goes, thank you for not running away, Meredith. And Meredith goes, well, I don't. As she then walks away. So then Angie's like, that apology from Meredith, it feels shady. It feels fake. It feels like Meredith. So then Heather's talking to her daughters, which is really cute. They're like really so proud of her, so happy. And now Heather's saying how she wants to write more books. She wants to write a second book, but she doesn't want them to deal with bullying, doesn't want them to have a target on their back, etc. And they're like, well, look, if you're just sharing your truth, we support it. If you're doing it just to get back at people, we don't like that. So she's like, great. I'm going to do both.
Excuse you. I'm sorry, but this is revenge. Get in fucking line. And I like when Heather's like, I mean, are you guys ready? There's going to be bullying. Are you ready for another burrito to the car? And I was like, really? That's not only bullying your poor daughter. That's bullying burritos. What did the fucking burrito do to get wasted? Do you know how many hungry Ronnies there are in the world who would die for a fucking burrito right now?
I would die for one right now. I swear to God, I would do anything for some Baja Fresh. I'm so mad that we, as a civilization, have not gone to Baja Fresh more because they're closing left and right, and it is so far superior to Chipotle. And now that Chipotle is the big fast casual burrito in town is not fair. It should be Baja Fresh. It's the better version.
Yeah. I love that place. So Heather is, telling us that having her kid's blessing, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. Okay, so Lisa's house. Lisa is spooning gooey stuff in a bowl. What was that? She's serving a tray. Lisa gives the most I don't give a fuck, and I also don't really eat in real life. Yeah. Tray ever. She just bought grocery store muffins. You know those blueberry muffins where there's like coagulated sugar on top? Like, it's this is really bad, like, days in continental breakfast shit.
These are supermarket muffins and croissants that are just like shitty. This is not, she did not go to like a nice bakery. This is all shitty. And so she was there and she's like, I hate the way I feel right now. I'm friends with Angie, but I'm feeling frustrated and hurt and blindsided because I don't understand why like my friend is behaving like this. I like don't understand why. I don't feel like my friend. It's my friend.
Yeah, it really hurts. Who's my friend? My friend is not my friend. Then who's my friend? Ching. And Angie approaches in a rainbow Versace logo.
Rainbow sunglasses, because like sunglasses are her thing.
Yeah. So then she comes in and they, do terse hugs and hello. And Angie's like, oh my God, I love your painting. Is that a Greek tree? She's like, no, I don't know what it is. But I had that one forever, but I have another couple of paintings coming. Hey, you know what? I grabbed some croissants. You know why? Because I'm always hungry. I'm just like always eating. Food is so delicious. Why? Hold on. It's so good. That's how you do it. It's really delicious.
It's a coaster. It's a coaster, Lisa.
Lisa does that thing you do when you're kids. Like, I'm so hungry. Let me turn to my side and... oh, I'm going to eat this entire bottle of water. Hum, 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 hum. It's like you're passing it by your cheek, Lisa. True. That made a great visual of what I just did.
That was a good visual. Yeah, I totally fell for that.
So Crap is on Demand exclusive, guys. That's what you got to watch. You get to watch me pretend to eat a bottle. Probably looked like I was deleting it. So
that's how Ben found Dom on it. That was the first video Ben put on Grindr. So in other news.
So then Angie's like, I'll have a croissant with you. Where is the baklava? So Lisa's like, she's like, how's everything going? And she's like, oh, just as usual. Like, we haven't talked for a couple of days though. So I was sort of wondering what's going on. I felt like I just needed a minute.
Nope.
Oh, sorry.
Yep.
It was Lisa saying that. Nope. No, or Angie saying it.
No.
Should we say it together as dual Angie?
Go. Yeah.
I felt like I just needed a minute to gather my thoughts. Mm,
got it.
Which is funny because I was the one complaining that you hadn't texted me, but it was me that was gathering my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt overwhelmed after Whitney's Prism event.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, the Prism event, Bobby's birthday party. And Angie's like, yeah, the birthday party, you left upset, Greek. And Lisa's like, yeah, I needed a break too. I didn't realize Monica had such a stress with me.
I know you're upset, and I feel like you think that I'm taking her side.
No, I didn't feel like you were taking your side at all. But you tell me you don't like Monica, you don't want a relationship with Monica, and then you're taking Monica's side. So what's up with you taking Monica's side? Not that I care that you were taking her side, but like I was on one side and Monica was on another, and then you're on Monica's side.
The optics don't match the conversation. I learned the right word. If you ever heard me say ocular, pretend I didn't say that. Because now I'm saying optics.
But optics isn't really right either, is it?
So it's better. It's like... ocular was like a very literal, like, oh, the your eyesight doesn't match this. But like optics, people say this is bad optics. You're saying one thing, but you're doing another thing. So it's a little bit better. But
optics, yeah, I guess optics mean the way it looks, right? Like, this is the way it looks, and it doesn't match the conversation, I guess. Okay, whatever, who cares? So Angie's like, well, you're right. All of this is true. I'm not denying that I've had those feelings. But look, woman to Greek woman, she asked for a sit-down and not... She asked for a sit-down about what went down at not regular Easter, but Greek Easter. And then we see a clip of Monica being like, and I apologize to you. Like, seriously, for real, in front of this Instagram wall, nothing can be as sincere as it is in front of an Instagram wall full of fake roses. I'm, like, really sorry for that.
See, I didn't know any of this. And, like, I had no idea. And I just like, yes, there was some resolve. And I'm going to take full responsibility and full accountability. Not really sure for what, but I'll just say those things. And I probably have been wishy-washy at times, and maybe part of why I haven't been clear is because I'm afraid to be clear, and I'm not saying I want to be best friends. Well, I'm afraid to be clear. I was saying that's the way you'd feel bad for me a little bit, but you're turning it into you a little bit.
You're afraid to be clear?
Yeah.
Why are you afraid to be
clear? I don't know if it's like subconscious or when you found out I painted birdhouses at Heather's ... which, by the way, I love that that's like, well, remember when you found out that I was painting birdhouses at Heather's? Like, that's so good. Like,
she's like, you were really pissed off at me when you found out I was painting birdhouses. And then we see a clip of Lisa going, I'm literally getting triggered by this. This is literally bullshit. Like, you got an apology? I've literally never gotten that from Heather.
And when Angie says, well, when you found out I painted birdhouses with Heather, then Lisa, it cuts to Lisa. She flicks her hair and it goes, oh, boom.
Birdhouses, what do I even care? I've had birdhouses built it. I'm the queen of birdhouses in Sundance. Do you know how many birdhouses in Sundance are sponsored by Lisa Vita Tequila? What do I care about birdhouses?
I have like 100 tiny couches that fit exclusively in birdhouses.
So she's like, yeah, I was afraid to tell you. I went to her house until after I went to her house. Oh, really? Your insecurity in telling me stuff is not my problem. Okay? You being terrified is not my problem.
Lisa basically turns Angie's like, I just was scared. I didn't know because you were flipping it. She's like, I don't give a fuck. If you don't have the balls to talk to me, then that's your fucking problem, bitch.
Which I actually really liked.
Yeah, that's
I like Lisa. Like, fine. So you're afraid of me yelling at you? Too fucking bad. Then don't do things I would yell at you for. And if you do, be honest about it, because I'm still going to yell at you anyway. Like, what the hell do you think is going to happen? You're just not going to get this part of my personality? Durr.
Yeah. And Angie's like, well, I just didn't want you to think that I was going to take away a friend from you. And Lisa goes, why would I think that? Like, I don't think that way. Like, if you're projecting onto me, like, I think that's what you're doing. Like, I got upset because she apologized to you for how you took a beating, but I took a beating. And like, it was a beating like over and over and over again. What I'm saying is, every time I see a bird in a birdhouse, I'm like, you better be so fucking thankful you got a house. Because guess what? I have no house, considering my house was built on the beatings of friends, you fucking bird. That's what I'm trying to say right now.
Okay, listen, you know what? You're projecting on me, and I'm sure you can see it because I'm so huge because I eat so much. Look at me right now. That's a remote control, Lisa. Oh. It might be hard to digest. But anyway, you know what? Do you know how it feels to be a man in this situation?
Fucking Lisa. I love that no matter how many times you tell Lisa, Lisa, you hurt my feelings. Lisa, this was unfair. Lisa, you're being mean to... She doesn't even care. She's like, this is why. Because my feelings are hurt.
Yeah.
You know? And Andrew tells us, I'm wanting to move on with Heather and Monica, but it hurts Lisa because she's hurt by those friendships. And it seems it's like how she got hurt by Greek Angie, how she got hurt by Jen Greek. But I'm not those Greek people. I'm this Greek person. Yeah, but you are that person. You know what I mean? You were brought on this show by Jen. You turned on her pretty quickly. Of course, she started it. So I will give her that.
Jen poured a glass of champagne on Angie's head for no reason.
But I wouldn't call Angie like the most loyal person on this show. Angie does go where the wind blows.
Definitely. It's raining. Sorry. If you saw me having that look, it's because it's raining. It's LA when it rains.
Oh, I thought Dom came in.
No, it's raining. So Lisa is like, The answer is yes, I totally agree. So Lisa's like, how do you think it makes me
That's
feel?
That's all I needed to hear. Thank you. I can go now.
How do you think Click. It makes me feel in these situations? When you look out my window, look at all those birds that don't have houses. That's so bad. Okay, and it's driving my property values down. Like, my friends are like, they're just like hiding things, like untransparent with you, okay? I'm like an open book, okay? I'm an open book that actually raps at book events. That's how open my book is, okay? And I say exactly how I feel. With exactly what I mean.
Yeah, but like, also, I support anything. So like, I would never blow up with you if you went to someone's house. She goes, oh, really? You're not honest, though. You're not honest. It's not that you went to her house. It's that you weren't honest about going to her house. That's what it is. It's like a lie. It's not a birdhouse. It's a lie about a birdhouse. Liar. Birdhouse liar. You're a birdhouse liar.
But Angie. By the way, it's really hard to go between Lisa and Angie for a prolonged amount of time because it's like, they're basically just turning into the same voice. Like, so Lisa's like, she's like, Angie, I mean, I'm like, I can't even tell where we are. That's because I don't feel like you're being honest with me. And that's why I'm acting that way. And Angie's like, but I just want to keep moving forward and keep her, Monica, at a distance and still be cordial and kind. And when I see her, and that is all.
Okay, well, I don't want you to feel like you have to have secrets from me, okay? So, like, look, tell me that you totally love Monica.
I love Monica.
Fuck you, stupid. I hate you. God, you goddamn idiot. You're never coming over here again. See, was that so hard? That's just like, that's what you just have to deal with. Are you okay with that? Okay, good. Because I'm still healing from things. I'm still so triggered. How you got an apology, but I never got an apology. So like, I'm the hurt one.
Yeah. And then she's like, how do you feel about not telling me things? That's not my problem. And so now Angie's like beaten down. She's like, you're right. It is me. It's me. Hi, I am the anti-hero. It's me.
And she's like, okay, well, there's no doubt in my mind that you're not my friend, okay? Like, you're always my friend, except when I'm doubting that you're my friend, which is all the time, because you're not honest with me. But if you were honest with me, even if you were doing things that weren't being my friend, I would be honest and say you're not my friend. Does that make any sense to you? You know what? You should take a croissant. Here you go.
This is a cloth napkin. Do you really want me to?
I don't want you to ever feel like you can't tell me something or you don't feel comfortable eating our croissant in front of me, okay? Because that really makes my heart break. And Angie's like, I don't want to feel that way either. And I think I have, and that's on me. This is all my fault. This is my fault 100%. And maybe I've been on eggshells because I've been walking on eggshells, and I'm concerned about your feelings. That's what I meant to say, and that's backfired.
Why would you bring up eggshells right now when I wasn't invited to do birdhouses with you? Birds make eggs, and eggs have shells. I'm triggered right
that's
now. You are
fault.
Such a terrible friend.
That's my fault.
Get out of my house.
That's my fault. I should never have mentioned eggs or gone to bird. I shouldn't have even looked at the birds on the way over here. Now, when I sing that Carpenter song, I'll say, why do suddenly appear? And you'll just have to guess what it is, but it might not be you know what's.
And that brings us to the end. I mean, it's basically Lisa beating her down until she's like, okay, I'm so sorry. Lisa's like, okay, we're always friends. I would never be mad at you, babe. Yeah. Like, I don't even know where you got that from. That is crazy.
So next week, it looks like they go to some sort of colonial thing where they're going to be churning butter and wearing bonnets and screaming at each other. And then literally Angie throws down a plate and goes, Opa. So, you know, this show's just really on track
what
it's going to do.
It really is. Guys, thank you so much for being with us for another two-parter. You know, one of you said something like, guys, why are you trying to make everything a two-part? We're literally not. We are just having so much fun talking to each other, and we're no longer limiting ourselves.
Like, do you think we do so many shows. Do you think I want to spend an extra hour intentionally talking about Bravo? I'm sorry, people. My dream would be to do these recaps in 30 minutes, but I can't control myself. I cannot control myself. So this is
neither one of us can, you know, and as we do this longer and longer, and I'm in Texas now only really seeing family, which they're great and everything. I did that on purpose. You know, I wanted to see my family, but now that that's all I'm doing, this is all I do. Okay. Like, this is the only person. This is like the only friend I really even talk to these days on a regular basis. So that's it. That's what you're going to get. You're getting a lot of religious trauma stories about having to go to church for bagels and cruisy rock bands. It's just it.
Wow. So you're saying that I'm like your only friend? Like, why would you like try to hide that from me, Ronnie? Why would you say that? Like, just say it. Be upfront with what you mean about our friendship.
Oh my God. Well, everybody, that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Thanks so much for being here with us. We will be back the rest of the week. Beverly Hills, Southern Charm, Real Housewives of Miami. Next week, we're going to do an episode of Married to Medicine to catch up with that. So be sure to watch that this Sunday. Guys, so much coming up. We sure love you guys. Thank you for being here and being a part of our lives.
Yeah, talk to you next time. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Stroll in the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.